It's always a party when we have the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney, with us, and he is with us every Thursday, brought to you by our good friends at Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. And, Brian, the last time we talked with you, KU was prepared to go to Morgantown. They take care of the Mountaineers a little bit easier than maybe some people anticipated, and then, of course, turn around on Tuesday and just lull people to sleep a little bit, make things interesting so everybody can get their money's worth at a 10 Allen Fieldhouse, get down 10 with about 5.5 to play, come storming back and win 79-75. What did you overall take out of these two games after seeing KU look pretty good against West Virginia and then pulling one out of the fire again at home against Oklahoma?
Well, it was good to see them win comfortably in Morgantown, and Baylor last night nearly lost there. I do think West Virginia is probably the ninth best team in the league. And you know, they haven't been completely healthy without Kevin Johnson, but they and Texas Tech, the cream's starting to separate, and those look like the bottom dwellers. And so you did up there what you were supposed to do. And we've talked about this before. Billy Tubbs had a quote that Bill Self likes to reference from time to time about how if you play every game down to the wire, one or two possessions, over the course of a full season, that takes an emotional and mental toll on your guys, in addition to the physical toll, obviously. And it's not good. And this is a league where inherently you're going to probably play 12 to 14 of your 18 league games within two possessions. I mean, the league averages would tell you every game is within two possessions, but if you're Kansas, you'd like to think there's four or five that, you know, you stretch out to at least 8 to 10, right? But Monday night was a meat grinder, or Tuesday night, whatever night we played. They all blend together. And you look at our schedule, the next 3 weeks, Kentucky in Lexington might be our easiest game. And I say that with some seriousness and some tongue-in-cheek. They've had some guys out, but they've really been spiraling, and our league just looks better and better at the top, Iowa State and K-State. We got to play these guys twice before the end of the month, and it's an absolute bear of a schedule. And so what I took out of those two games was they're finding ways to make winning plays, but you'd sure like to have a little more separation a little earlier in some of these games, because eventually – that is going to add up against you in a long season. And eventually, you know, you're not going to come back from down 10 with five to go. You can talk about the magic of the building and how, you know, we always come up with big plays, or some outside of the KU circle would say we always come up with whistles that go our way. But the point is, more times than not, 95% of the time, Bill Self is going to win there. He's 301-16 all time in the fog, and crazy things happen late. But you know what? If Jalen Wilson doesn't hit that three when we're down eight, I'm not sure we come all the way back. You know, if KJ Adams doesn't have the game of his life and had repeated big shots in those last 5 minutes, I'm not sure we come back. And so, you know, it's easy to blindly, optimistically say, well, we're at home, we're going to pull it out. But as Bill Self likes to say, players still have to make the plays, and we had guys do just enough. My hope is that while the players are very confident that they're always going to win at home, you never want that confidence to turn into complacency and expectancy and, oh, well, you know, the switch is going to flip. Because at some point, and I know you were telling me off the air, you were watching this game with your mom and she was worried that it was, you know, too big of a deficit too late. At some point, she's right. Because while they did have two empty possessions in the last 5 minutes, they almost had to make a play on every other instance, because you let it go so long before you snapped out of it that it darn near cost you. I mean, a 13-minute field goal drought, you never see that from Kansas. And so, thankfully, they did make just about every play. But the margin for error in those last 5 minutes was next to nil, and thankfully, they escaped with the 18-4 run. You hope you don't get into too many situations like that going forward.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when if you play with fire too many times, you eventually get burned. You've heard that old adage, and that can come back to bite you. But we've said this many times before, you and I, that the good or the great teams or the good or the great coaches, if you're going to have 10 really tight one-possession games, you're probably going to win 7, maybe 8 of those games. Whereas if you're, you know, a decent team, you may be split. And if you're a team that just finds ways to be competitive but can't close, you're probably going to win maybe 2 or 3 of those. And that leads me to a couple of things. First of all, the Allen Fieldhouse magic is real. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I witnessed it. I've witnessed it many times. You have as well, I know, as a student and as a broadcaster and as a fan. And, you know, the Oklahoma State game, this is how spoiled KU fans become. The Oklahoma State game a few weeks ago that we were attended, 15-point lead at halftime, and there was no doubt in my mind, and neither in my son's, that KU was going to come back and win. There was just no doubt. And the crowd got them going. As soon as they came out of the locker room, the crowd understood that they needed a lift. And without that crowd, I don't think KU comes back around 15-point deficit in that game if it's just a quiet place. It gives you amazing energy. I've told my my family, and I've said it on this show before, I would love just for one day to switch bodies with KJ Adams for two reasons. One, because I could actually dunk and jump out of the gym. That'd be terrific. Two, to be on the floor and get that gigantic jolt of energy that you receive from the Allen Fieldhouse crowd. The magic that is there. You mentioned it. 16 losses of Bill Self. He has 16 conference championships and 16 losses in his years in Lawrence. I know sometimes people use the old, well, they get a few calls at the end of games. And yeah, they do. But the other night, Oklahoma had all the chances in the world, Brian. They had a couple of wide open three-pointers. Tanner Groves had a wide open three that I'm like, dude, if he makes it, this is game. And he missed it. And then they panicked on another possession or two and took bad shots when they had a mismatch down low with Groves was guarded by Grady Dick on a switch, and they didn't take advantage of it. And it seems to me when KU finds ways to come back, it's a combination of the crowd lifting the team, but also the crowd getting in the head of the opposing team.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And I think the reference I always like to make in talking about the crowd getting in the head of the opposing team was that 2017 game versus West Virginia.
Yes.
But we were down 14 with 2:40 to go. Fans were filing out. Dick Vitale was noticing it. And then here came Devontae Graham and the Jayhawks. And the specific play that I referenced when I talk about the effect on the opposition was Nathan Adrian, a Mountaineer from right there in West Virginia. He was trying to get the ball in, and it was so loud, and you could literally physically see his knees wobbling and shaking as he was trying to play it in.
Yeah.
Because the magnitude of the moment, the crowd, the pressure weighing down on him. He was nervous, and sure enough, 5 seconds lapsed, and it was a five-second call. We got the ball, and it was just like, whoa, this building is different. You know, and so it definitely does take a toll. It's why 10 years ago, Scott Drew pulled his guys, you know, out of the tunnel there and out from where they could view the video board, because he didn't want the Baylor players to see all the tradition, all the hype, all the history, all the winning here on that amazing pregame video the Rock Chalk video does for us. And a lot's been made of that, but and people say, oh, you know, he's chicken, blah, blah, blah. I think it was kind of smart, honestly.
Yeah.
He had a young team that he thought was easily impressionable, and if they stood there for 30 seconds and watched Will Chamberlain and Larry Brown and Roy Williams and Paul Pierce and all these guys that they're, you know, with the young players' mouths hanging wide open in awe, and then had to snap out of it and go play this team, it does kind of feel like you're walking into a buzzsaw at that point. So, yeah, it's a special, special place, unlike any other I've ever been. I've toured Cameron Indoor a couple of times. I've not seen a game there. 9,200 fans compared to our 16,300. I know they're special with the Cameron crazies on the sidelines and all that, but I can't imagine any place having the effect on a game like Allen Fieldhouse does, and clearly Tuesday night was another example of that.
No doubt, no doubt. Brian Hayden, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Millen Boyd, or call them at 738-5701. I want to touch upon this. You know, we know Bill Self is an amazing coach, and he's won two national championships. We mentioned the conference titles. He's been a winner wherever he's been. But one of the things that I think separates the good from the great coaches, or the good from the average coaches, is the coaches that understand that I have to be flexible. I've seen coaches over the years where they have a system, and that's the only system they know, whether it be football or basketball or whatever, and they try to squeeze kids into the role that fits their system, but those kids aren't equipped to fit that role. So the players, they're asking the players to adapt to something they're not comfortable with, whereas the coaches should really adapt to what personnel they have. I don't think there's a better example of a coach adapting to his personnel over the years than Bill Self. And he's won with so many different ways of doing it, Brian. I mean, he's had the two traditional posts, the high-low game. I mean, he won a championship in 2008. He's won it with combo guards. He's won it with true point guards. He's won it with scoring guards. Last year, I mean, you had basically one post and you had four guards. And now this year, you're seeing them play five out at times. KJ Adams, there's no plays really designed for him to post up. And you look and, hey, what do you know? KU, no matter what the personnel is, whether they're playing five out, four out, three out, two in, whatever combination it is, Bill Self finds a way to win. And right now they're sitting number two in the country. They're atop the Big 12 Conference standings, tied with Iowa State and also K-State, and they just keep on rolling. Can you elaborate just a little bit about how Bill Self has evolved as a coach in regards to, and he was asked by Matt Tate the other day, and I love what Bill Self said. He goes, listen, you know, you just recruit the five best players. You can't worry about, I got to find a five, I got to find a four, I got to find a three, I got to find a two, and I got to find a true one. You just get the five best players you can get, and then you try to adapt and fit their strengths. And to me, that's what makes a great coach.
I completely agree on that. And to take it a little bit deeper, he said, you know, we typically try to recruit four guards. One of them has to be tall, and then get a really good five man, and then put it together from there. But the days of recruiting, as you said, a point guard, a shooting guard, a small forward, a power forward, those are long gone. And he's done a good job of getting the one of them has to be tall type guard.
Yeah.
You think about Spee and Josh Jackson. These are all 6'8", 6'7", type guys. Grady, 6'8". You know, Jalen Wilson is more of a small forward, but has, you know, the wing guard skills, and he's 6'7", 6'8". So they've done a good job with that. To me, the remarkable example on this year's team of adapting your style or asking a player to adapt a little bit based on need and how the roster is kind of coming together is the fact that up until November, KJ was practicing on the perimeter, and he was going to be one of our wings, and now he's our five-man.
Crazy.
He's absolutely not going to cover off the ball every single game in league play, to use a baseball term. I mean, he's been amazing. 14, 14, 14, 22. Nine straight games of double figures, including 19 at Mizzou. And this is a guy that literally 2.5 months ago was lined up to be fifth in the wing rotation, and now he's first in the big man group.
Crazy.
So that speaks to not only Self's ability to, you know, keep twisting that Rubik's Cube until the colors come out, you know, full, but also his players' willingness to be adaptable and moldable and all that. But I do think it really is, you know, something to marvel at, to watch the way he's evolved as a coach over the years. A guy who came in very much committed to a high-low, you know, offensive style, and it's gradually evolved as the game of basketball has evolved. As more athletes now are skilled at bigger heights, you don't have as many back-to-the-basket centers necessarily. They still exist. But, you know, back in the 90s, you know, we're getting set to have Roy Williams in town this weekend. Back in the 90s, I mean, you had two of those guys on the floor, right? And now you want these big men to be stretch fours, and you want, you know, your center to be able to run the floor like a gazelle and be somebody that can also hit the 18-foot shot from the left short corner on the baseline and not just necessarily be this big Goliath you lob the ball into. And so everybody's adjusting, but Self has adjusted as well as anybody. And I think really, you know, you go back to my first year on the call 7 years ago, that was year he had Josh Jackson. Mm-hmm. And I think that opened his eyes to having four round one, where you had one bigger but very athletic wing player that would you know, help you only play one big man, but be much quicker and dynamic on the floor, much faster, and get out and go. As soon as the rebound is made on the defensive end, you're pushing tempo the other way. And he's really recruited to that four round one style almost exclusively ever since.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just fun to watch how he's adapted over the years and just continues to win at these levels that nobody else does. All right, Iowa State comes to town. This Big 12, my goodness gracious. I mean, K-State and Iowa State are picked to be at the bottom of the Big 12, and now they're both in the top 15 in the country. They're both undefeated in Big 12 play. And oddly enough, KU's got to play them here the next two games, Saturday at Allen Fieldhouse against Iowa State, and then they go on the road to Bramlage on Tuesday night against K-State. Let's start with Iowa State. The Cyclones, they played a good schedule. They beat North Carolina, if I remember correctly, early in the year in a tournament. I think that helped them a lot with their confidence. They destroyed Texas Tech the other night. What's the scouting report, and what are the concerns with Iowa State coming into town on Saturday afternoon?
Well, I'll tell you what, TJ's done an amazing job in his second year. And, you know, great job last year to see the way they wound up making a run in the tournament and made it all the way to the Sweet 16. It was going to either be the Hurricanes or the Cyclones in the Windy City versus Kansas in the Elite Eight, and ended up being Miami. But, What a job otherwise, you know, to bounce back from that. I think that Kalscher's continued to impress. He's hit some big shots in some key moments. He's the kid that transferred in from Minnesota. This is his second season in. And then, you know, at Wichita, area kid, Caleb Grill, who you know, we saw flashes of last season, yeah. But I mean, wow, he's really taken that next step. He's nearly doubled his scoring per game from a year ago. And then Jaron Holmes is a guy that stepped in and right away been a big-time player for him with 13 a game to lead the way. So they're doing a lot of things really well. I'll be honest, you know, when the transfer portal was humming last offseason and there was news that one of their star players wanted out, I was like, oh my gosh, Tyrese Hunter, please be a Jayhawk. And I actually got to meet him on his recruiting visit to Kansas, and he ultimately picked Chris Beard in Texas. You have to wonder if he's regretting that now. But obviously, Hunter leaving the Cyclones, to me, was going to be a devastating loss. And the fact that you fast forward a year,
yeah,
and the team Tyrese Hunter left is only ranked four spots behind the team he joined, shows you what a great job their staff did at reloading. Because in my estimation, I think you and I talked about this last year, watching him play as a freshman with the Clones last year, I thought, that's a future Big 12 player of the year.
Yes.
And they lose him in conference that season, and they haven't missed a beat. So major, major props to that coaching staff and all those kids up there. And it is going to be an amazing stretch these next 3 weeks. You look at the Kansas schedule, the two meetings with Iowa State, two with K-State. I referenced going to Lexington, Kentucky. I know they're in a tailspin right now, but you know they'll get up for that game. That'll be Calipari trying to save some space, save some face, and get some momentum back. And so that'll be a bear of a game too. And it really doesn't let up for Kansas at all the rest of this month. And you could say it doesn't let up until late February, really. But it's funny how it works out, because if you would have said, based on the preseason Big 12 poll, where's the toughest pocket in your schedule, based on what you just said, where Iowa State and K-State were picked, you would not have thought this next fortnight was the toughest stretch. But you fast forward a couple of months, and it looks like it just might be. So we're really going to find out a lot between now and February 1st, that's for sure.
That is absolutely correct. All right, so I know, you know, Bill Self's not looking ahead, but you as a broadcaster can, and for the sake of this show, we're going to ask you to look ahead. So Iowa State on Saturday, we covered that. K-State on Tuesday, because we won't talk to you again until next Thursday. You know, when I saw K-State early in the season, and one of the things that jumped out to me, regardless of who they're playing, is their athleticism. I mean, it's night and day compared to what they've had in the past. The athletes that they have, they can play above the rim now. Of course, Keontae Johnson, a tremendous kid from Florida, of course, had the heart condition, and now he's playing great. Marquise Noel is playing as good as any other point guard in the country. Obviously, KU fans can argue about DeJuan Harris as well, and that'll be a heck of a matchup on Tuesday, Harris versus Noel. But last year, KU went to Manhattan against Bruce Weber's team. That K-State team, I don't think, was nearly as talented. K-State should have won the game. KU with the crazy comeback in the second half, one of the biggest wins of the season for KU. And, of course, Bill Self's dad had just passed away recently prior to that. And I know Bill Self listening in the postgame, coming back from Colby, covering the Windsor Black Classic for high school on the radio. I was listening to Greg's interview with Coach Self, and he was so proud of the team and what they did in pulling one out of the fire in Manhattan at Bramlage. But this K-State team, they're a different animal compared to what we've seen in past years, aren't they?
They really are. And to think that they lose Nigel Pack to the $800,000 NIL deal to Miami, but they bring in a different Florida school kid, and he's doing every bit as good. You know, similar output, almost identical, quite frankly, at 18 a game. He's been really, really good. And so I tell you what, it wasn't a really good hire. It was a great hire with Jerome Tang. It's a home run hire right now. Couple of months in, who would have thought that K-State would be knocking on the door of top 10 nationally? And you know, if they win this weekend, it will be a top 10 head-to-head come Tuesday night in the Little Apple. And so I then you take a look in Waco, and boy, they were a whisker and an eyelash away last night from being 0-4.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy. And Tang's already beaten them, you know, head-to-head in Waco. So that's not to say that Tang was the secret ingredient that made Scott Drew's program go. I'm not saying that. But clearly, it's affected Baylor. And clearly, Tang has been every bit as good as K-State fans could have hoped, and then some. So, you know, we'll tip our caps, as I know many Wildcat fans have done, to Kansas with Lance Leipold's hire, and say that, wow, both these athletic departments in their supposed, you know, lesser sports may have really gotten it right with their latest decision. And so it certainly makes the rivalry a lot more fun if they're great. But somebody asked me yesterday in Wichita, how excited am I for K-State that they're doing so well? it's going to make for these great Dylan Sunflower showdowns. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'm excited for friends of mine at K-State. I'm excited for Wyatt. I'm excited for, you know, buddies that have graduated from there. But make no mistake, we still want to beat them 2 to 3 times a year.
Right.
We still expect to win 90% of the games, so I'm not overly excited for them.
Right.
But I do think Coach Tang's a great guy. I love it that he's a man of great integrity and character, and I love the way he's leading his program. And we got the best coach in the country, so I suppose it's all right if they've got a great one too. But yeah, it does make for more fun rivalries, as does football with light poles.
Yep.
Now, going back and forth with climate. And so I think there's definitely some truth to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of exciting times here next few years, as long as, you know, these programs, KU can keep Coach Leipold and K-State can keep Coach Tang. I think we're going to have a lot of fun over the next 4 or 5 years, if not longer. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for you, Brian. Have you ever borrowed something, had good intentions of returning it, but haven't, and now that item could be reported as stolen by the original owner?
Man, that's a wild one.
Yeah.
Not to the point where it's like stolen. but there have been books I've borrowed, and I'm one of those guys that starts a book and I get like 5 chapters in and it just sits there.
Yeah.
And it's funny you mention this, because there's a specific one about Howard Cosell that an old friend of mine from my original job in radio 20 years ago loaned me. Yeah. And here we are 2 decades later. I still haven't finished it, and I'm probably going to send her a Facebook message when we hang up and say, hey, you want this back? Because I'm looking at it right now. It's been sitting in the same spot for about 20 years. It's moved to Texas from me and back, and I still haven't finished it. But to me, it would be like books, and it used to be DVDs back in the day. We don't loan DVDs anymore, but I'm pretty sure I lost about 6 DVDs to friends that I gave out to and never got them back. So.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, I guess as men now in our middle age, we loan like stuff from the garage, like a tool for the backyard,
right,
or something like that. And maybe you might not get that back. Otherwise,
yeah,
I'm not really in the business of, you know, we lend broadcaster stuff from time to time, but you always get it back the same day. So I don't know. Do you have an example?
Not really. But I will say that you said it's been 20 years since you've had that book from this lady. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so I could just see her going, yeah, that's great, Brian. I really wanted to read that book so badly. I already bought a copy 18 years ago. It's like I wasn't going to wait on you to get it back to me. I've already read it. I don't want it back now.
Seriously.
Man.
Wow.
It is weird how time can get away from us, that's for sure. But no, I can't think of anything specifically. I think that the tools are a good example. I've loaned out tools and I don't get them back. And there's been times that I've borrowed something and then I try to return it, and the person will say, you know what, I don't even need it anymore, just keep it. I've had that happen too. Well, man, I look forward to listening to you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Keep those vocal cords intact. Iowa State coming up Saturday, and then K-State on Tuesday. 2 very important games in the Big 12 conference race, and we look forward to recapping those and looking ahead next Thursday with you, my friend.
Hey, thanks so much, buddy. Always a pleasure. We're looking forward to it, too, and we'll talk soon.
Take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.